Go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, and I'm just going to read a few verses here. It says, "Rise up, O God, and scatter your enemies." This is the prayer, Joe. This is our prayer today. "Rise up, O God, and scatter your enemies. Let those who hate God run for their lives." Come on. "Blow them away like smoke. Melt them like wax in a fire." This is the word of God, folks. "Let the wicked perish in the presence of God, but let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy." Are we full of joy today?
Yes.
"Sing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides on the clouds." Yeah, a couple of us are excited this morning. "His name is the Lord. Let's rejoice in his presence." And verse 5, it says that he is a father to the fatherless. He is a defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. But he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Heavenly Father, we have come this morning to honor you, to give you the best that we have in praise and worship. Let our hearts be prepared this morning to receive a special word from your presence, from your Holy Spirit. Speak directly into us, God. Give us something that we can use, something that we can take away from here that will cause us to be more like you. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Psalm 68, a father to the fatherless. And this will be part of our message this morning. We're going to be talking about AAA fathers this morning. Now, I don't want everybody to zone out if you say, "Well, I'm not a father, so this one doesn't apply to me." This applies to all of us, trust me. So stay attentive. Try to stay with me if we can this morning. I want to turn over and begin with the book of Matthew. And for those of you who didn't know, Matthew actually did write the book of Matthew. So it's a little bit of an inside joke. Matthew 3:17. I'm going to start at verse 13 because this talks about Jesus' baptism. It says, "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. He says, 'I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you,' he said. 'So why are you coming to me?' But Jesus said, 'It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires.' So John agreed to baptize him. And after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and setting on him. And a voice from heaven said this, 'This is my dearly beloved Son, who brings me great joy.'" You know, we could read from the Bible a lot of different examples of fathers, and there are lots of good ones out there, but I will tell you that every single father that I can find in the Bible also has some great shortcomings. This is the reality. I went through, I was looking, I said, well, Adam, and you got Abraham, and Noah, and Eli, and David, and Moses, and all of them, they did some great things. They did. They did some great things, and they're inspirational to us yet today. And yet each one of them has some great shortcoming. I will tell you that God, as Father, has no shortcomings. He reveals himself to us in this context. He says, "I'm your father." You know, this isn't the Luke Skywalker thing. This is the real deal. "I am your father," God says. And he's speaking these things to Jesus. He's speaking them to us as well today. He says, "This is my dearly beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So he said three things about Jesus in this verse. First of all, he said, this is my son. This is a case of acceptance. This is the first A in the AAA dads that you're going to get this morning. He's accepting him. He's not rejecting him. He's saying, I'm claiming him. This is my son. I tell a story about going off and playing football or watching the boys play football. And we were at the ball game the one day, and my son had made some really good plays, but it was the first game of the season, and nobody knew who anybody's kids were. You know, the parents were there for the first time. Some of them hadn't been to the practices. And we were halfway through the game, and there was a group down front who wanted to know, whose boy is that? Whose boy is that? We were out in South Fork. We were the only white family on the team. Actually, there was two of us, so there was some confusion as to which set of parents. Whose son is that? And they were asking, is he yo boy? Is that yo boy over there? And I'm like, no, that's not my boy. And I stood up on the back of the bleachers, which is where we were, and I said, that is my son! I was so proud of him. That is my son. And God is saying that same thing, saying, I'm accepting him. I'm not rejecting him. I'm not calling him. I'm saying that I own this. I claim ownership of this. This is what God says. And in doing so, he's bringing the first A of fatherhood, which we all need to do as well, which is acceptance. Well, what's the second thing he says? He says, he's my dearly beloved son. I love him. I love my son. And this is something that we all look for as well. And what's this one? This one is affection. The second A is affection. Our Father God is saying, Jesus is my son, and I love him. Everybody's looking to hear this at some point in their life. They're looking for all three of these ingredients, which we need to be readily and ready to give. Affection is the second one. And the third thing he says is, I'm greatly pleased by him. I'm delighted by what he's done. And this, the third A, is affirmation. A father, a good father, gives affirmation. So a good father gives acceptance, affection, and affirmation. And these are three things that everybody on this planet needs to hear. Every son, every daughter, every person on planet Earth has to hear this. And if they don't hear these three things from their Heavenly Father, they will be cut adrift like a ship on the ocean without a rudder. They are out there by themselves unless they can hear these three things. This is my son, I love him, and I'm greatly delighted and pleased by him. Gunner, I'm greatly pleased that you're my son. You know, Father God revealed himself as that, as a father. And 1,573 times you will find that word in the Bible. It's a concept which is sown and woven into Scripture, that it's something that we can all relate to. God wanted to make it easy for us to understand, and so we do. And so he's been revealed to us as this good father. Well, gentlemen that are here today, he honors us by allowing us to carry this same title. God is Father. And then we... And I apologize, ladies, this is the one part that you don't get to participate in. There is a difference between men and women. They might throw me in jail someday for saying so, but it's really true. We get to carry this title of father, and we should be proud about that, but we should also be seeking to do it in the best possible light, to model exactly what God modeled for us. To show others exactly what God showed to his son. So he's the best example. And so before I get any further into the preaching this morning, I do want to say that this church has really been blessed in the way of having fathers. And this is something that we're going to continue to develop inside the walls of this church, is that we want to be a place that doesn't just have good fathers, we want to have great fathers. We want to have world-class fathers. And so, as you can see up here, I actually have prepared this morning to pass out a number of gifts to all the fathers that are here today. I want this to be a token of appreciation from the church, but I also want it to be a validation that you've done well. And so I give the very first one to my earthly father. Dad, I love you very much. I'm honoring you. Again, it's just a chocolate bar and peanut butter, which are the two greatest flavors on the planet. And in my opinion. Now, there are people who don't like peanut butter. Now, what? Shame. Shame. Backslider. Backslider. Find her. Put her in another section. There really are people on the planet that don't like these two flavors, but I will tell you that this is given from my heart. It's the very best thing that I can think of. And for a man to sit down with a big bar of chocolate, a knife, and a jar of peanut butter, there's something special about that. Just with a finger, that's right. Go down in with a thumb and lick it right off. Right, Kristen? Is that the right Pavlansky way to do it? Well, we've been blessed as a church, though. As a church, we've got a number of pastors here, lead pastors. And when you add up the years of pastoral duty that exist right here in this building today, it's well over 100. We have some great wisdom and some men who have given their hearts over and over again. So again, Dad, I thank you very much. I did want to share a quick story. It's my favorite story to tell about him on Father's Day. But we were on our way to, not that one. We were on our way to Indian Guides, which was a thing, you know, father-son kind of thing out in California. I don't know that it still exists today. Never heard of it. So you, instead of Boy Scouts, you know, you would put on an Indian vest and you had good deed beads and bear claws and you had a headdress and feathers. And the longer you were in it, the more stuff that you got. And yeah, anyway, so we're on our way to Indian Guides. And it's, you know, Tuesday night or whatever night they had. I don't remember. We were back in California. There's a lot of building going on. And out in the front yard of this building area, you know, they're putting up a number of new houses. There'd always be dirt piled up. And as we were coming by in our brand new car, my dad's brand new car, two heads popped up from behind one of these hills. And they all both had dirt clods in them. Dad slammed on the brakes, you know, in the middle of the road, and he rolls down the window. He says, "You throw that and you're going to have a dent where your nose used to be." Yes. Now, as an 8-year-old, or however old I was at the time, there was nothing cooler on the planet. My dad, he warded off these two, you know, warriors that were... These kids probably wept, you know, running, you know, they wet their pants as they ran off the... But I couldn't wait to get to Indian Guides to strut around and tell everybody about my father. This is, you know, it was always, you know, my dad can beat up your dad kind of thing. And it was great. But I'll also say that it was great having... I felt protected, which is one of the things you want to have from a father. You really do. And it was awesome having him. It was great, though, when I saw Jesus come into his life and change somebody who was all about his own success and all about his own stuff and doing his own thing. And I saw him change as a human, as a person, and as a father from being completely self-centered to being others-centered, to be God-centered. And so... I appreciate that. I want to pass out a couple more to Pastor Joe. You went all the way to San Antonio. We love you. We call you Ant Man. We know you love that. But it's good to have Pastor Joe here. You know, we all take part in what he did this past week in heading to San Antonio. but he's also been a great man. I'm adopting you as a father, whether you like it or not. So, you know, you're gonna have to take the good, the bad, and the ugly with it. That's the way it's going to go down.
We shoot Indians.
Yes, of course we do. And Pastor Daryl, my partner in crime. As I've always said, the Batman and the Robin, I guess he must be Batman and I'm Robin then. But when the call went up for, to do things in the county, I could always count on Brother Daryl to be with me. And that always meant something to me. But it was interesting because as we spent time together, one of the things that he said as we were driving down 40 the one day, and he says, I would have gone to the poorhouse in order to make sure that my kids could go to a Christian school. I was willing to make whatever sacrifice needed to be made. That's the heart of a real father. And I salute you, sir. I salute you. I'll try to get through this as quickly as possible. I'm not going to tell long stories here. Jeff, I love you, man. I don't know your whole story, but I know that you've been called for such a time as this. What'd you do to your hand?
Long story.
I'm looking forward to it. You're a father.
Yes.
God's called you to be a great one. Iowa, God bless you, man. I hope you like chocolate and peanut butter. And for those of you who don't know, again, we've just developed a relationship. This is fairly new. I don't know him real well, but one of the things that I do know is that he has now taken on, very late in life, the role of a father. There can't be any greater thing than that. Amen? Amen. And George. Mighty George. Again, and you don't all know George, but he, many years ago, made a determination that he was going to be a father. And he was the father of three kids, not his by birth, and he acted as great a father as he knew how to be for all those years. And years later, he took on the role a second time, acting both as a grandparent and as a parent. You're to be saluted this morning as well. I love you, man. Gary, I don't know Gary. I mean, I've met Gary like twice in my life. This is, again, a gift honoring you as a father. One thing that I do know, we had a fish cookout the other night, and I found out he was talking about, I'm going on vacation with my son. Okay, there's a lot of people that can't say that as they go on in years. So I don't know, you could have done some things wrong. You probably did some things right at some point, too. I honor you for that this morning. Bill Reniger, man of God. He'll do anything at any time. He works second shift, third shift, fourth shift, whatever shift needs to be done so that he can continue to be a father and a provider. So he has taken on the role of both father and grandfather now, and I don't know exactly where this is headed. God's going to give you strength to get through that. Amen? And Big Charlie. Charlie Wolf. Charlie the Wolf. Are you going to eat that? Yes, he is. Yes, you can. Charlie, God has called you as a father, whatever mistakes you might have made. It doesn't matter. We've got these three things that you can do today that we can all do today. Acceptance, affirmation, and affection. These are great things that we can all begin right now and make a difference, not just in our family's life, but also on this entire planet. Mr. Junior, I count you also. I don't know if you're an uncle or another father, a grandfather. He and Marcia have acted in that role for me and my family, and I appreciate it. This is from the bottom of my heart. Mr. Bill, the famous Mr. Bill. I've known Bill for about a year and change now, and he is. I adopt you as another father in the house, and one somebody that speaks into my life as a father. We were out weeks ago, months ago, whenever it was. We We're agitators. And so we went to Raleigh to agitate. And we were marching. And they had made this march for us. We got on this circuit, and you do this, and then you do that. Well, at one point, we got yelled at, hey, come back here, go to another place, go to another location. Well, we were planning to march around the governor's mansion, which is where they had told us we were going. And so we're all standing in the middle of this road, as half the crowd is going one way and half is going another way, and we're standing right in the middle. It was Bill Jr., Gunner, and myself. And we're all looking at one another because we didn't really care. We were there to agitate, right? Not really. We were there to make a difference. And wondering, what should we do at this point? Should we head back? Should we go on? And Bill stands up and he says, let's start what we finish, or let's finish what we started. Okay, that's great fatherly advice. You don't have to be really extraordinarily wise in order to do that, but that's something that sunk down into me. I says, I hope Gunner saw what he just did right there. I hope he saw what he did. He took a stand and he says, we started something, we should finish this. I salute you for that and for much more that you'll be doing, amen? Thank you, Brother Joe. Now to one of the greatest fathers that exists on this here planet. My brother Chris, in some regards, again, I've always treated him like my own son, but it's really good to see him blossom as a father. He's got four girls now. I'm counting that. He's got four girls now, and they can look to him for provision, for protection, for praise, for all the things that a father should do. I salute you as a father. Thank you. John, do you eat chocolate?
No.
That's right. Happy Father's Day, man. John, years ago, he may not remember this, but he came up, this was, it was at least a church ago and a different building ago, and he showed up one evening, and I think it was I don't remember if it was the Moral Majority or something like that. And he sat down with a group of us just saying, hey, we've got to get involved in some things. We can't allow things to go on as they're going on. This nation isn't getting better. And he sat down, and there was just, I don't know, there was four or five of us there that night. It made a difference to me. It made a big difference to me. And then I didn't see him for years. He showed up here the very first time. And without being told, he was showing up here the middle of the day and just saying, what needs to be done? He became Mr. Handyman out at the well. He says, something needs, a piece of wood needs replaced. I can replace it. Something needs painted. I can paint it. He acted like a father to me. So I appreciate that, and I thank you for it. And finally, Mighty Mark, a man of God. Those who don't may not know, and again, I won't tell the entire story, but years ago, Mark made a financial move in order to protect one of my brothers and also the entire company. He didn't ask to do it. He didn't take advice. He jumped in and did it at a point when it might not have made the most sense in the world. And it was protection. It was protection for me. He's a great protector. I love him as a brother, as an older brother. You can't have a finer one. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, let's give all our fathers a hand. I'm looking around to see if I missed anybody. If anybody else is a father, I'm not aware of it. Come see me afterwards. I have plenty of peanut butter and chocolate left. As we said, there's a lot of good examples of fathers in the Bible, but none better than looking at God himself. None better than looking directly at God himself. Let's turn to turn back to Psalms, the very scripture that we just came from, Psalm 68. Be a little bit of a text for us today. Father to the fatherless. You realize that we've hit a time in our nation's history that can be described as a fatherless generation. There's now approximately 50% of children are growing up in their homes without a father. And God was very poignant in pointing out, he says, I'm going to be the father to the fatherless. I understand that these things are going to happen. You're going to need something better than ordinary men who continue to fail. I'll be that God. I'll be that kind of person. But we're also left with the recognition that it's not like, oh, well, God's got it all then. It really is up to us to be that example for the rest of the world. Amen? I mean, that's what men are supposed to do. Brother Joe had printed this off, and I'm like, gosh, this is such good stuff. I'm forced to read from something that Joe gave me. Listen to this. It says, the role or position of a father was instituted by God and is strategically important in his kingdom. The role of the father is strategically important to God. I like that wording. All this battle stuff that we've been doing for all these weeks, God had a strategy involved. Fathers are foundational to what God wants to do inside families. God's goal in spreading glory throughout the earth, which is what he's trying to do, he wants to spread his glory throughout this earth. Yes. From day one, that's been what he wants to do. I says, I want my glory to be seen throughout the earth. And he gave it to Adam to say, now go make it happen. Go carry this everywhere that you go. That's what you're supposed to be about doing. Fathers become the foundation of the family itself. Our position is not supposed to be the look at me area. We're the foundation. All the glamorous stuff is what comes on top. If you know anything about building wonderful buildings or houses, the foundation is a really boring part of what goes on. It's wildly important. It's the most important. But the foundation is only for what comes on top of it. I've talked about going from beautiful resorts or places that I visited. You walk into a building, it's awesome, and people want to take pictures, down the hallways, and they want to look at this, look at this fountain in the middle, and look at this, look at all this wonderful, gorgeous scenery on, and they do all that. None of that would be possible without a foundation. And this is what fathers do. They provide that foundation, and they're supposed to be pointing to, they were supposed to launch our children. We're supposed to lift up and glorify, in some regards, our wives. That's what we do, men. This is what we've been called to do. And so it's interesting. Last week we talked about pride, the battle with pride. You recognize that all men are wired to have enormous egos. Incredible. They will all respond favorably when you feed their egos. Every red-blooded man, I will tell you. Ladies, they say that the way to the heart of a man is through his... Okay, that's a lie. That's a lie. I mean, for me, maybe. I mean, it has partial truth to it. But, you really want to find a way to the heart of a man, you feed his ego. You feed his ego. You tell him how awesome he is. Tell me. you tell a man how awesome he is, how great he is. He's your hero. He's strong. He's smart. He's wise. He's incredible. Boy, chest puffs out. It was interesting. They did this study. They polled 500 men or something, and asked them, if they felt that they were above average intelligence, if they were geniuses. and it's fascinating because by statistics, it's about 1 out of 1,000 people that actually qualifies as a genius. So they're in intelligence quotient is such that they would qualify as genius. But when you ask men, are you a genius? And they, well, you know, I hate to be put on the spot like this, but truth be known, you know, yes, I am a genius. And it was about 60% of men says, yes, I am a genius. There's no doubt about it. And so we've got this inflated sense of ego, which God certainly wants to use at some point. But it can't possibly be true by all the statistics. And so a lot of times we take that and say, look at me, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished, look at all the things that I've achieved. And that becomes what men, when God is saying, no, you're supposed to just be this foundation. You're supposed to be this launching pad for your children. That's the way that it's described in scriptures. And so that's what, more like what we want to be doing. It says that the role or the position of father was instituted by God, strategically important to his kingdom. Fathers are God's direct representatives, representing fatherhood and authority. They establish the child's understanding of what a father is and what authority is like. Therefore, a child's impression or how he sees the father directly correlates to what he perceives about God. The child, what their view of God is filtered through their earthly father. What they think about God and authority generally is filtered through what they know about the position of a father. Their ability to relate to God himself is very much based on their ability to relate to their father, their earthly father. It logically follows, therefore, that how they relate to their own father, they will in fact relate to the same manner to their spiritual father. If a child perceives that his father does not love him, if a child perceives that his father does not love him, he will invariably feel the same way about God. Can you see how relationships get wrecked through the years? The devil is in the business of breaking generations, breaking relationships of fathers and sons. That's what he wants to do. It's always been from day one. That's God wanted a link. He wanted a solid link from one generation to the next, a godly generation, handing it off one to the other. And the devil's like, I want to break that chain somewhere. So all he has to do is find one father who doesn't live up to the standard, taints the view of God from his child, and you have a broken connection. Exactly what we see happening at an accelerated rate in our society today. If a father has not been there for a son or daughter, then God will be seen as absent and not involved in his life either. Should the father not adequately provide, then the child will be unable to believe that God is a provider of his needs. These are just some of the more obvious examples to show how a child sees his dad and will ultimately see God as well. This is gold here, Joe. This is gold. Everybody needs to get a copy of this. This is something that you put together with Pastor Bruce some years ago. Our perception of authority, therefore, often comes from the first authority in our lives, our natural father. Anyway, it goes on and on. I would urge anybody who wants a copy of that, I'll get you one later. It's terrific stuff. So our view of God, our Father, is tainted somewhat and filtered by our earthly father. That's just a fact. That's the way that it happens, whether we like it or not. And so if there is a disconnect that can occur, that's where the enemy comes in, and he wants to be in the business of creating a completely fatherless generation. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 4. We use this scripture several weeks ago when we were talking about stewardship. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is talking, and we're going to go down to verse 15 eventually, but you'll recall part of this. It says, so look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Now, a person who is put in charge or as a manager, or the word that's used in the King James is servant, gosh, steward. Steward. I teach on it for 2 weeks and can't come up with a word. A steward must be faithful. And this is what God is saying. I give a steward something. He doesn't have anything himself. He has to be faithful. And it goes on and talks about this. He goes on and says, nothing that you have is anything that you've earned yourself. It's all been given to you by somebody else at some point. So nobody should be proud about, you know, how much they've attained or how much they've been able to gather together or the things that they've done. Because in doing so, Paul is strictly saying, God ultimately gave us everything. So we didn't create any of ourselves. And so our position, our attitude becomes one of a servant, one of a steward. And then he goes on, join with me in verse 15. He says, for even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father. And if you read this in the King James, it basically says, I've gone around, I've looked at the church, I've seen what's out here, and I see that there are 10,000 instructors. There's 10,000 people that are able to regurgitate precepts. But I only see one father. We have a shortage of fathers in the body of Christ. It's certainly in our society at this point. We're lacking fathers. Well, what has happened? It's strange, really, when you think about it. At this point in America, and these are the latest statistics, 24.7 million children in the United States do not have a father in the home. This is the very first time, and this isn't the first time we've had a fatherless generation in America. Keep in mind, after the Civil War, you had an entire generation of men that were just completely wiped out. You had this great war that took place. In fact, we talk about Mother's Day. That's how they got to it, is that the mothers stepped up. They did all the work of both fathers and mothers to raise their children. It says, gosh, they did incredible work. Let's honor them. Let's create a day. We'll call it Mother's Day, and we'll honor them. That'll be a terrific thing. Well, part of that was because there was a fatherless generation. But this is the first time in America's history that we have a fatherless generation without a war. It's not that men are dying physically. They're dying spiritually. And what are they doing? They're breaking that connection with the next generation. They're walking away from their children. And we're left, the church is left with you know, we're here to clean up the mess. We're supposed to be the ones saying, we've got the answer. We can help. We know what needs to be done. And sadly, even inside the church, we're seeing these same kinds of numbers. Husbands and wives separating. And now you have young children who don't have a father in the home. And so their view of God, as we said, ultimately gets tainted. It gets tainted because they only know how to relate to a father in one way. So we've got ourselves in a pickle right now. We have a real live fatherless generation. I looked at some of these statistics. They're actually they're sad to go through. 85% of youth who are currently in prison grew up in a fatherless home. 85% of people on their way to prison, they grew up in a fatherless home. This thing, again, you can download them from the internet, 36 shocking statistics on fatherless homes. You look at every single ill in society today. Drug use, 500% more likely if there's not a father in the home. Dropping out of school, it's that same, 500% more likely that you will drop out of school and not make it if you don't have a father in the home. whatever societal ills are out there. Some of these are really sad to even mention. The abuse that goes on in the home as a result of fatherlessness. Again, when you don't have a father's heart and other men are showing up in the house, it's a terrible thing that's going on here. 75% of rapists are motivated by displaced anger that's associated with feelings of abandonment. 20 times more likely to have behavioral issues if the father is not in the home. 20 times more likely. That's 2,000%. That's an incredible volume. And so we have an entire society that's being wrecked. And you can point back to the fact that fathers are just not present. They're not active. They're not there at all. Girls who live in fatherless homes have 100% higher risk of suffering from obesity. They have a 200% higher risk of suffering from eating disorders. And so it goes both ways. I mean, it's just their lives are wrecked as a result of that. I don't even want to read all these. They're depressing. 90% of the youth in the United States who decide to run away from home. Again, lack of a father. 500% more likely to commit suicide. Lack of a father. They haven't heard those three things they need to hear. They never heard, I love you. They never hear, I accept you. They never heard, I affirm you. They're just missing those ingredients. When the predators are out there looking for young girls to feed their operations of prostitution and what have you, they look very specifically for a type and a style. And it's not the looks that makes the difference. They have to find somebody specifically who has lacked protection, who's lacked provision, who's lacked the presence of a father, and has lacked any praise in her life. We talked about these ones actually last year, the four P's of fatherhood. And when they can find somebody who has lacked those, who hasn't had them, they become fertile ground to be taken advantage of. And so as fathers, that's our challenge, is to become that protector. You know, it's sad that so many young girls, they never see a father's eyes looking at them as though they are incredibly valuable. They just never get to see that. The only thing that they see are hungry eyes, desiring eyes. That's all they know. I was telling Michelle, I said, I might use you as your dad. I remember the video that we took of our wedding day. I remember it. I mean, but I've seen the video so many times, I see it from that angle more often than any other. But we had a good time. It was a great wedding. It was wonderful. And the very last thing we did at the reception was this dance. And everyone got one more chance to dance with Michelle. The music played in the background. And then her father danced with her. Right before I got to dance with her. And so her dad was there, and I could see him looking at her, and he was looking at her as a treasure. Now, I was looking at her as a treasure, too, but I will tell you, as a 29-year-old man, boy, whatever I was, it was very different. It was very different, the looks in our eyes. And a lot of women never get to see that, never see that father who just says, this is a treasure that's so pure and so wonderful and so awesome. And because they don't see that, they lack that ingredient. They become fertile ground for the enemy to take advantage of. Now, you know, over the years, I have learned to love my wife, and every day I get closer and closer to looking at her the way her father did. But we've got an entire fatherless generation out there. It's not just men, it's not just sons, it's sons and daughters. And the question is, you know, what's going to be done about it? It's interesting, Time Magazine, they said the number one factor in determining a child's success in finding happiness is whether they have a father in the home. And this is almost 20 years ago that Time said that. They had their whole, you know, they did a whole article. It's funny that they don't find a way to link God back into this. But that's what's going on. That's the real problem. You know, you turn on the television and you see people yanking statues down and burning buildings and rioting. You know what their problem is? I guarantee the lion's share of it can be linked back to fatherlessness. And so the government can step in and say, we're going to yank down all the statues, and now they are. That will not fix the hurt and the pain that is down inside of these people. It won't fix it. Now, you can argue the justification, well, this one should be and this one shouldn't be. Those are all political nonsense and garbage. I'm telling you that they think that this is going to do something for them. If I could just knock down another statue, if I could just burn another building, if some large group of cultural, you know, whatevers will kneel down and say they're sorry to me, that'll fix it. That won't fix it. You can shine their shoes, you can kiss their boots, that's not going to fix what hurts them. Unfortunately, people are walking around this world and they have what's referred to as a father wound. They've gone through life having never heard, I love you, I accept you, and I affirm you. They haven't heard those three things, and because they're missing those attributes, it's causing turmoil inside of them. Their identity is lost. They don't know who they belong to. They don't know what their purpose in life is anymore. And so all they will do is continue on this rampage of burning and looting and destroying, because that's all they have is rage down inside. John Eldridge, in his book Wild at Heart, said this. He says, and this is to men particularly, but every boy in his journey to become a man takes an arrow in his heart, in his place of strength, because the wound is rarely discussed and even more rarely healed. Every man carries this wound with him, and the wound is always given by the Father. At some point, your father may not have actually used the words, I hate you. He may not have used the words, I don't accept you, or he may not have said, I reject you, or I don't affirm you. He may not have said those things, but in his actions and in his deeds, in the words that he did use, you will have heard those things. And that causes a wound down inside. And everybody gets that wound. I had a great dad. These things happen. I wonder about my own sons. Where have I spoken or said something to them that they will interpret as being rejection, lack of affirmation? Which is why we take a Father's Day and say, God our Father gave to Jesus these words saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And you know, we have chapters in the Bible. The very next chapter in the Bible, you know what happened after Jesus was baptized. He walks out into the desert. God knew he was going to need this because the devil was coming to attack. And the very first thing the devil said to him, if you really are the Son of God. This was an audible voice from heaven. You know, more people had heard, lots of people heard this. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God is speaking that. He's speaking it over every one of us today. He's saying, you are my beloved children in whom I am well pleased. Now when the enemy comes and says, I'm going to steal your identity, I doubt that you've got what it takes, I doubt that you're the Son of God, look at your life, look at how you've messed it up, look at how you've ruined things. And we can still say, I am a proud son of God. I know how I'm linked to him. I might have made a mistake. My God loves me today. He affirms me today. He says he is well pleased. This is what we need to do both as earthly fathers and as spiritual fathers. For those of you here who are here and you're saying, well, I'm past the childbearing age. God is calling on you saying, you still have a chance to speak to people. The way that, Joe speaks to me, that Daryl, that Junior and Bill, when they speak to me, I'm listening to them as though they have a father's voice. And they get to play that role over and over again. God is going to call all of us people to be people who bring these three things: acceptance, affection, and affirmation. Let's close up here. Go with me to 1 Peter. First Peter, chapter 2. And it says, you also, he's talking to all of us, you also are as lively stones. You're built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You are accepted by God. Your life is accepted by God. He speaks that to you today. If you hear anything you want to hear from God, he's saying, I accept you. We're accepted in the Beloved. We get called out from the large group. God chose every single one of us and says, I'm actually picking you. I accept you. I'm not rejecting you. I'm not sending you off. I'm saying you're accepted. And that's something that everybody needs to hear. Every son, every daughter, every spiritual son, every spiritual daughter has to hear this, that we've been accepted. In Malachi, Chapter 1. Last book in the Old Testament, and this was God speaking. He wasn't going to speak again for several hundred years. And he says, this is the message that the Lord gave to Israel through the prophet Malachi. I thought that it was interesting that God chose a prophet whose name was Malachi, and Malachi means message. And so Malachi was the messenger who was bringing this great message. And what was the message that he was bringing? Verse 2, it says, I have always loved you, says the Lord. That word still stands today. It's for no private interpretation. And God is speaking over Yadkinville today saying, I've always loved you. You might look and say, yeah, there are times I'm not sure. You know, I did some really lousy things. And God says, I've always loved you. There's never been a time, no matter what you have done, where I haven't loved you. That's the kind of good, unchangeable Father that we have, is that he reassures us of his love over and over again, saying, I've always loved you. Logan, I've always loved you, man. Always. Even when you had a cone head when you were born. I didn't. He was the ugliest baby. Yeah, he was. He was really ugly. No, my son was uglier, I promise you. I still loved him. I've always loved you, is what God said. And let's go back to exactly where we were in 1 Peter. If you've got your finger there, turn right on back. 1 Peter chapter 2. And God says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Affirmation. God is speaking words of affirmation to you. So my charge to the body of Christ this morning is that we're looking for AAA dads who will give words of affirmation, words of acceptance, and words of affection over and over. That's what this generation needs. These people out there that are off in the news doing their own number, that's what they need. That's what they're missing. politicians who think they can fix this by passing some new legislation. We're going to eliminate the police. We're going to do this. This is so crazy. It's nuts. I want to go into the statistics about police and county. And it's crazy. It's nuts. The real problem in society has nothing to do with systematic racism. That's good. Nothing. Zero. We have a culture in this world that's infected by sin. That's what the problem is. It's not color of skin that has anything to do with it. This is light versus darkness. This is God's word. And you can see it playing out. They try to couch it in terms of speaking in terms of racism and various races. It has nothing to do with that. You have 75% of the black community today, 75% of them grow up without a father in the home. That's what their problem is. And that's not, it's not a black-white issue, because now you have 45% of the Hispanic community that has that same issue, and inside the white community, it's 33% today. We're at an all-time high. We're at 50% as a country. 50%, half of the kids do not grow up with a father anymore. They're not valued. They're not valued, and when we look at it, they're not valued as babies in the womb in a situation where, my gosh, they're killing them. They're killing them as, you know, fast. The most dangerous place for a black baby is in the womb today, by the numbers. That's a dangerous statistic. You know, when you look at the Bible, in the book of Kings, it talks about the days of Elijah. And we're looking for a day when that prophet is going to be sent. And it says that before I come again, I'm going to send a preacher. He's going to preach this message, and he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children, and the hearts of their children back to the fathers. I'm going to link those generations back together again. That's good news. In Elijah's day, though, in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34, there's a sad story about a man named Heel. And this is in the right before Elijah shows up on the scene. These are in the days of Ahab and Jezebel, wicked king, wicked queen. And it says there was a man named Heel, and he decided to rebuild the city of Jericho. Well, for those of you who read the Bible, Joshua chapter 6 says that Joshua put a curse on Jericho and said, anybody who tries to rebuild this city, his first son will be killed at the laying of the foundation. And it says, and if they continue on with it, whoever hangs the gates, he'll lose his youngest son. Well, this man Heel decided to build the cities of Jericho, and he laid the foundation, and guess what happened? His son died. His oldest son died the day he laid the foundation. The crazy part is that he continued on building that city, and it says the day he hung the gates, his youngest son died. Now, that's a coldness and a callousness that exists, and we're seeing it back in play in our society again today. If we ever need the preaching of the prophet Elijah, we need it today. And what was that preaching? It was that, hey, prepare the way for the kingdom of God. There's a king up there who has a better plan. He's got a better way for all of us. No more crying, no more dying, no more killing, no more any of this nonsense. The king has a plan for this. And that's the king that we submit to. So today, fathers, you know, you want to be a living gospel for those children? Three A's. That's all I want you to remember. Acceptance, affection, and affirmation. Acceptance, affection, and affirmation. That's what you give to the people that you see, to your own children, to your spiritual sons, to people who show up in our lives. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Can you make a difference in the United States of America today through us? Can you cause there to be a revival that would take place in the hearts of men? Can you cause us to become better fathers? Can you allow us to take part in the great ministry and the building of the kingdom of God? That's our heart's desire. We want to be part of your kingdom. God, raise up supernatural fathers so that we can fix and heal this land that's in desperate need of a king and a ruler and a just leader like Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence today. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said,